And so we find that the power, I think, and here again, you can kind of start looking through a lot of things in our walk with our Christian values and things that God is about, and through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. There's many, many things. But I want to focus on today is of the resurrection. We began to speak last week about the resurrection and what it entailed. And I read some things here about it. It proved that Christ was divine. Resurrection power proved that Christ has power to forgive sin. It just tilted everything dramatically at the resurrection of Christ, didn't it? Where he could bring or come back from the dead and be about his disciples and those around him 40 days after the cross. And so today I want to kind of dig into just probably four or five areas to kind of give us a focus as far as the resurrection and what it brings to us today. I'm going to take my glasses off so that I can read. I can still see you people out there, vaguely. I can see silhouettes. I want to first go into where it shows in Romans that it declares Jesus' deity, or it shows that area of the nature of God. Because we know that God sent Jesus, and it's a three in one, amen? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But as I go into Romans, first chapter, we get into this, talking about Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with, everybody say this, power. Power. Amen. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among them you also are the called of Jesus Christ. It's important to know, are you the called of Jesus Christ? As we follow him, as we receive him as our Lord and Savior, as we surrender our lives over to him day by day, piece by piece, we desire, I hope, I am in that level of still working on these things. I'm still getting bits and pieces of my life out of my life to give him more of my life. How about you? And it's a process that continues on, I believe, until we're called home. That we have not arrived yet, have we? Of the things that God wants from us. It's an ongoing. It's talking about that run the race set before you. It's not a sprint, is it? This life of ours as a Christian is not a sprint and say, okay, all you got to do is sprint 50 yards and it's over. You can sit down and everything is okie dokie. Our life is a relay. We go from one thing to another. And that baton that we pick up is whatever God wants that baton to be in our lives as we take it and we run with it in our lives to be an example to those around us. Knowing very well that it is not us being able to do this or accomplish this, it's him in us. For greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. That it's not my ways, it's his ways. That I don't understand a lot of things that God puts upon me or wants me to do or wants me to understand. At the time, I may be kind of confused in it and not know, why is this happening, Lord? What is going on right now? What? Has anybody ever questioned God? Have you always, you know, said, okay, Lord, what is this about? I can stand before you. And when I've had those times with my Lord, if I remain within his presence and allow him to be with me, and if I shut up enough, I sense in the Spirit, by his Spirit, speaking to my spirit, that all of a sudden, things become a little more clear. He shares things with me. Well, it's all these things that we have gained, and we've got that ability. And it's because of the power that existed and came about through that of many things, but for sure, the resurrection of Christ, resurrecting from the dead. What is that when we say resurrected? Now, if I go back here, resurrection. Talks about standing up again, restoration to life, rising from the dead. That's what resurrection is, standing up. So we find in Romans 1:4 that we just read that throughout the verses 3 through 5, Paul is summarizing the good news about Jesus Christ. How many here know the world and the people out there need to know and have some good news? We're not going to get off into that can of worms, but we know where the world is at, and we know the things that are taking place out there. I'm so thankful that I've got a Bible. I'm so thankful that I've got the direction in the Bible. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I've got Christ on my side. I've got the resurrection power. I've got God with me. How about you? And that I can rest even in the deepest turmoils that takes place in this nation or in this world. Oh yeah, there's times that I can get myself kind of like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, what's going on? I don't understand. This isn't going to happen. I just see this happening. It's going down the tubes fast. I got to take a deep breath. And then I say, Lord, it's not about that. Because I know you're in control. I know, Lord, that the end of the book says that we win. Thank you, Lord. And all of a sudden you refocus, you reset that focus upon not the things that we easily get sidetracked by, but we set that focus again upon God by reading His Word, by prayer, by meditation. So we find in these verses, Paul is summarizing the good news about Jesus Christ. Number one, He came as a human by natural descent. He was part of the Jewish royal line through David. And He died and was raised from the dead, and He opened the door for God's grace and kindness to be poured out upon us. I don't know about you, but I've used some of God's grace in my life. Anybody else been a benefit of God's grace? God's mercy? Amen. So we find that in the resurrection of Christ, it is just basically showing the nature of God. For God said this was all going to come about. And it did. As we go next into, it talks about the justification. It justifies us. Amen. We're going to stay in Romans, so I'm going to just go to Romans 4:25. I'm going to read in Romans 4:25 this. Let me go up. I don't want to just start there. I'm going to start and say 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was able to perform. Amen. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our, what? Our offenses. Our offenses, our sins. He was raised up because of those things. He was raised up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. We find that as we go through life, and the Word helps us understand these things of our righteousness and things of that nature, that it's not ours. It's not myself. It's not what I'm able to do. It's not within my worth. Because I am like a vat of filthy rags compared to His righteousness and those things that God has for us. But to think about this, guys, is that God so loved us that He did what? He sent Christ to die for us. Jesus! To take that and to bring us back into that relationship, because God loves us so much, He sent His Son to die for us, and not only for that, to take those sins away, and to take our sins away, but then we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I care not what the others will say. And there's others out there that'll say, oh, he didn't rise from the dead. He's not living. He didn't ascend. There's a lot of doubting people out there, and there's a lot of things out there that want to discount the power of God and the power that was shown through that of Jesus Christ's life and what He was about. But we know different, don't we? First of all, to get to that point, you've got to believe that this Bible is the inspired Word of God. Once you begin to doubt anything within this Word, the devil says, oh, they're beginning to doubt the true Word of God. I can start planting seeds of discourse in that. I can start messing with their mind. I can bring people around them that speaks a little bit better of it or can really look at it and twist this and twist that, and I'll get them so confused, they'll be wondering, they'll start doubting their doubts, you know, type of thing. Like, but you've got to rest and you've got to come, first of all, that this is God's Word. Nothing, for me anyway, nothing supersedes this. If God said it, God will do it. If God promised it, that promise is going to come about. I don't have to walk through, I wonder if, I wonder about, I wonder what's next. Oh Lord, how about this? Oh Lord, am I this? Am I that? You've got to get that rested into you and to understand that God loves you so much that Jesus came for you. I am so thankful that if it was just me here on this earth, by reading His Word, Jesus would have come for just Tim to reconcile me back to God. Because God loved me. God wanted that relationship with me. Why is it so many times people really don't want that relationship with God? I know there's a multitude of reasons and the things that takes up that whole understanding of why we fight. And it's a shame is when we've come to the Lord that we've all come to Him at different levels and times in our life. You know, none of us have been birthed right out of the womb and Christ was our Lord and Savior. You know, life began. Talks about even that little baby, there's sin type of a thing because that just sin came into the world through man, you know. And we need that justification. We need that righteousness that God has for us through that of Jesus Christ. And He comes to take that sin away. We've talked about that a few weeks back. But as we look at the power of and what this resurrection means to us today, we find that justification for us in Romans 4:25 we just read. And I need to let you know that to understand this, we must accept Christ, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And then when we do that, an exchange takes place. Amen? Anybody remember that exchange in your life that took place when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? What happened? What happened at that point in time? If we would just all reflect back, you know, sometimes it's been some time back, many years, many decades back. But just to think, you know, wow. An exchange takes place. We give Him our sins and He forgives us and makes us right with God. You go to 2 Corinthians 5:21 and you'll find that. It says, I want to be clear about this as far as understanding what this is about. And this is the thing, that there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that I can do to reconcile you to God, but through that of Christ Jesus. Amen? The only way to do that is by accepting Jesus into your heart. Only then, through Christ, can we be made right in God's eyes. So we've got to keep that understanding before us to understand that there is not many ways into heaven, as some want to profess, as some in other areas of life want to make people feel comfortable, like we had shown that video a couple of weeks back on that End of Me series, and it talked about the one gentleman that began to get into meditations and the guru, and he really got into the guru stuff, and he met a Christian lady, and this lady was a Christian, and they began to have conversation, and she says, no, there's only one way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. That's what my Bible says. That's what my faith says. That's what I believe. He comes to say, well, now, come on. We can talk about this. My understanding, there's many ways up that mountain, I think he said. There's many paths up that mountain. She says, oh, no. No, there's only one path through Jesus Christ. She stood her ground like we all need to stand our ground, even in this day and age when so many people out there are trying to sugarcoat it, trying to make it simple, trying to make it so whatever that we get people into a false sense of salvation, thinking they're going to make it when really it's the lies and the deceit of the devil to keep them here, you know, to keep them in eternity, because we talk about this too, about this is just a temporal place, isn't it, guys, as we pass through. We're just here sojourners. We're just here temporarily. This time in our time of being here on this earth is just a snapshot, a twinkle of the eye of the whole eternity process of where our spirit's going to stay. And we know that when we die in Christ, that we go to heaven. We know that we're going to be resurrected in Christ when that day comes. And the thing that when we get resurrected, we're going to have a good, perfect body. Amen. And these things are promises and things that are given out in His Word that, first of all, you've got to believe His Word. You got to understand those things and say, that is where I'm at. That's my hope. That's my belief. That's my trust. That's that's where I read it, and that's why I just come to understand it, I guess, like that of a child. I come to understand the things of the writings of God as that of a child. I think for the most part, as we read through those things, He really didn't want to try to write it in such big words and things that we couldn't understand, because He wants all of us to understand how simple and how easy it is. And how we, on the other side of the coin, man likes to get in, and for some reason, if something's too simple, man wants to put their thought into it to make it a little bit more difficult. You know? If you want proof of that, just go buy a swing set or try to put a hutch together, you know, it comes in a box, and try to read instructions. It's like, try to figure those things out. I'm so happy and so glad and so thankful that my God made a book or teachings and the words of Christ and just the instructions for living here so simple and understandable. If we just say, what's it all about, God? It's not that difficult. But you've got to know that you've got to know that there's only one way to heaven, that through Jesus Christ, His Son, and through the power of the resurrection of Christ. If I go into Romans 10:9, declaring His lordship, and it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm sorry, I read the wrong one. Let's go up. Let me go up there. I'm going to start at 8. But what is it said? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why it's so important as we confess who Jesus is in our life. Amen? Now we make that confession. With the mouth one confesses. With the heart one believes. That's why it speaks in God's Word about renewing our heart. It's so important that we receive that salvation, and it's so important that we begin to allow God to do a heart transplant on us and to begin to renew this heart, Lord. Because His Word talks about, you know, to those that don't understand these things and the message of the cross, that, you know, their heart is seared or their mind has been seared. Their heart is hard. It's not able to receive. And we know what happens, you know, as you try to pour something into something that's gotten dried out or calloused or hard, it's hard to get something in it, isn't it? And it's only by the Word of God, and as God begins, and as our salvation, as I say, Lord God, I thank You for Jesus Christ that came and died for me, a sinner. Father, I thank You for His blood that has cleansed and washed my sins away, and I confess Him now as my Lord and Savior, and let Him, and I want to allow Him now, Lord, to become Lord of my life from this day forward. Lead me and guide me, I ask God. It is not about me, it's not my life, it is Yours now, Lord. Take me, use me, fill me for Your glory. You begin to confess those things, you speak those things out. And pretty soon that heart begins to soften, and as that heart softens by that of the Spirit, and you allow Him, because God is a perfect gentleman, you've got to ask. He's not going to force Himself. He's not going to mandate this or that or say it was His thumb on you and all these things. My God, He was waiting for me to receive Him at any time when I finally gave in or turned over my life or whatever, when I came to Him. At whatever age, you know, probably really for sure back at the age of 30, 35-ish, really started getting serious. Said many of prayers here and there, here and there, here and there. But there's those times that finally you say, I got to my life and I said, I'm done with playing around with God. I'm done with going and receiving and going, and then 6 months later, a year, 2 months later, it could have been like a week later, all of a sudden it's like, that's back there and now I'm going on with life. In my life, it finally got to the point to where I had given just enough of myself to God that the spirit within me was starting to stir. And the things within me began to question. And the things finally started saying, there's more to this, and I want a stronger relationship with God. I want more of Him. And as I began to do that, the more I wanted of Him, the more He wanted of me. And I think He would have said, maybe God was like Al up there. Finally, when Tim finally did that, God might have been going, all right, Tim is coming to it finally. He's understanding this, you know? Or how about, what was this thing with Al early when he was growing up and his up in the room and somebody would come and yell outside, Alan. So Al would do that quite a bit with people, like, call out a name. Just pick up any name, what it would be. Tim, if he was calling Tim, Al would say, Tim. That was something that goes back to Al's childhood. But maybe God was doing that to me. He was, Tim. All right, you're finally getting it. You're finally understanding the love that I have for you, Tim. And that even when you're really not walking close with me, I am still with you. And I have plans and purposes and things for you to do that you and yourself don't even imagine you can accomplish. But with me, you will. All these plans and purposes that I have. And I began to get into that level that I wanted that. And when that happens, things happen. I tell you what, when you begin to openly come to Him, He begins to do what? He just pours Himself in you. He just gives you more. He just helps you through. Not that it's always been easy. There's been struggles. There's been times. There's been this and that. But we mature with the things of God. And it all starts back with that salvation of receiving Christ. No other way. No other way. He gives us a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3. Okay, let's go there. 1 Peter 1:3. We're going to go back to Romans to end up here. 1 Peter 1:3. My heading here talks about it's a heavenly inheritance. 1 Peter 1:3. Giving us a living hope. We need hope in life, don't we? I wonder sometimes, and I was out there. How about you? I was out in the world at one time in my life, and you were too. I know it. Wasn't it interesting going through life, and you thought you had everything under control. You thought you had life by the tail. But you really didn't have life by the tail, because life had you. And I just didn't realize that. And probably you didn't either at that early time of your walk, or even before your walk. Well, we were living that American dream. We were doing what we're supposed to be doing. We thought, this is it. This is what we're supposed to be about. But then something happens, and you begin to look around, and you say, and there's a lot of people out there today, guys, they have no hope. Where do you go if you don't have hope? Where do you turn if you don't have hope? How do you live if you don't have hope? And with the things of God and with His message to us and through that of Jesus Christ and through the epistles and through the Word of God, I find hope for today. How about you? We find that hope. And it is our challenge, I think, too, to go out and share that hope with others around us, in our families, in our neighborhoods, around the table, at the restaurant, well, wherever we are led by God. And when God speaks to our spirit to say, share something with that person, or if that person says, my, aren't you happy today? How can you be so happy? And you begin to share. You hear the news last night and you're okay today. How can you be so sure of things? Because I've got a hope that's out of this world. And it comes to me, and I just know that everything is going to be okay. My faith, my trust. Oh, hallelujah. The hope that develops into that faith, and that faith that develops into a strong ability to walk out the life and to know what we're going out of into. What sets before you from this life? those of us that are saved and have Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are going into an eternity that is full of joy, laughter, happiness. We talk at times, and even at the hospice time at a Grace this last week back, as the decisions were being made and some things were coming to things for Al. We were discussing things, and I remember back, and I am so thankful that when I was some, this was before I really, BC, before Christ in my life, but listening to my mom speaking about the time when her father was slipping from this life into that next life. And she said, all my father kept saying, she said, was laying in his bed and just laying there, I suppose, and he just began to say, it is so beautiful here. It is so bright. The flowers are so bright. Oh, the air smells like I've never smelled before. For us as Christians, that awaits for us as well. As heaven is there for that, as we read, and you can find in the scriptures where it says that there's no more pain and there's no more sorrow, you know, and we can go on, if there's no pain and sorrow and things of the past are past and they're no longer the same now, that there's a newness given to us. The mere body that we walk in, this part of me is really not Tim. It's just the shell of who Tim is in. But the Tim is the person inside. The spirit of the person as far as how they were. And I tell you what, things changed in my life when I received Christ. How about you? My spirit man was reborn. You know, there was things that changed. Things that I saw that I needed to change. Things that changed easily. Things that changed sometimes not so easily. But with God's grace, her help and mercy, things began to change. But we have that hope, that living hope. What did I say? Did I read that already? Well, let's read that in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Through what? What is our living hope through? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, oh, I've used that abundant mercy, how about you, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We read here in Peter's words that this gives us hope. We find it in this verse that we come away with a wonderful expectation of eternal life. From this hope, from this, our hope is not just for the future. Eternal life begins when we trust Christ and join God's family. No matter what pain or trial that we may experience in this life, we know that it is not our final experience because eventually we will live with Christ. Somebody say forever. Forever. Say it louder. Forever. With Christ forever. No matter what pain or trial that we experience in this life, we know that this is not our final experience. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do people of faith and Christian and values of God, why do they have struggles? Why is this world happen to be, because we're living in this world just like the sinner is, just like her. Remember I talked about that, you know, the resurrection and all that, talks about there will be a resurrection for everyone, those that die in Christ and those that don't die in Christ. The sinner will be resurrected as well. But there's going to be two different onsets is what comes out of that resurrection. For that is saved according to and received Christ and living of that, to that's a sinner that stayed away and poo-hooed the things of God and thought it was just a fairy tale and whatever. And as we close today, I'm going to return back to Romans. I'm going to go to 6. It talks about here that we're going to share this Romans 6, 9 to 11. But But this is a scripture, a part of the word that helps us understand that we don't have to fear death. That you begin to experience a different outlook in this life. With the help from the Holy Spirit, we will become all that Christ wants us to become. And that's what is so important about the Holy Spirit. How sad it is that in some of our other settings of churches and denominational things, that they don't focus as much on the Holy Spirit. They put some things together and think that it was not for today, or that happened back at the final of the disciples or the apostles back then. But in my word, when Jesus said that he must go so that he, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, could come and lead us, the Holy Spirit is much needed for today as well. And he is here for us today as well. And that God speaks to us through that of the Holy Spirit this day as well. Romans 6, 9-11, I'm going to start in 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And boy, it goes on. For therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. So as we look through, and there's other areas to look through for scriptures and the resurrection, but these are some areas of today, and that kind of coming off of the good news of Jesus was about is taking our sin and washing our sin from us, and the resurrection significance of that. That, number one, it declares the deity or the nature of God. It gives us justification. That resurrection. That resurrection declares the lordship of all the things of what Jesus was about and the power that really worked through him. And some think of him as just a mere apostle or just a mere, prophet, I guess I should say. But much more than that. Amen. So it declares his lordship. It gives us a living hope. And it, finally, it gives us that victory over death. Victory over death. As we share it so many times in the one thing that we all have in common, they always just say, well, what? Well, the one thing that's always common and the same is, death and taxes, those type things. And that's true. And it really is. We're all got a commonality that we will die someday on this side of heaven. And when that time comes, we do not know. Just like the return of Jesus, we do not know. And I don't say that to run around scared and fearful. Because when he comes, he's coming. But I also look at this to say we've got to understand where we're at and where Christ is at in our life. And that, as knowing Al and the things that he, a man of the word, studied his Bible, I would love to look in his Bible because it was highlighted. It was highlighted, man. And he was a student of the word, studied the word, loved the word, shared the word, prayed the word. He was concerned to share the things of God. And probably part of, I don't know if I'll share this tomorrow, part of the service, but, we talk about, he fulfilled that, he was a minister of the gospel. He shared it with everybody and the doctors, nurses, whoever, I'm sure. He was a walking testimony. Well, that's what all of our lives need to be, as we go through this, because people are watching, people are looking, people are paying attention. And I don't want them to see Tim for who Tim is. I want them to see Tim, who Christ is working through Tim, that you know that we and all of us in this room, we are His voice, we are His hands to do His work. You go out and help at a shelter. You go out and help in a pantry, and you're helping those that need help. You know, when they come out here, they thank us for the things that we can give them. But I say, we are doing this because God loves you. And He just wants you to know that He loves you, and you're special to Him. They may not even have a relationship with Him. But you know, before I had a relationship with Him, God loved me too. How about you? And so it's those hands and the feet. It's doing the ministry. It's doing the works of the gospel. It's to share the love of Christ. It's to do what we can to let people understand that there is the inevitable. The thing's going to happen. Death, there's going to be, you know, we're all going to be resurrected. The sinner as well as the Christian. And we're going to stand before the judgment of God. And we need to know, you know, where we're at in those times. And I would just trust right now that if you do not have Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you receive Him even today. Could be a point in time to where we've stepped away. I don't know about you, but I've stepped away from Him a few times. How about you? And there's been times that I've had to reaffirm that just within myself to say, Father, I've stepped away from You. And I ask You to forgive me for that. And I repent of that. And Father, I just ask that the Lord would just become more into my life and I surrender more myself to Him and I come back to Him. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father. We serve a God, and it's not to abuse and use, but we serve a God that is full of grace and full of mercy. And it's only for Him to decide, you know, when is that last time for, that's it for Tim, I'm cutting him off. It's not for me to know or not for me to figure out for anything. I just know that I serve a loving God. And so I would just challenge you today that if you don't have that relationship, number one, is to receive Him as your Lord and allow Him to have your life. Begin to grow into things of Him. Begin to hear Him in your life. Begin to find out the purpose of your life, and He's got that purpose for you. And return back to Him if you've turned away from Him. My God, my God.